Hi, I'm Dan Q, and you're listening to a podcast that nobody asked for, exclusively about things that only I find interesting. Today, I'll be talking about goose-related etymologies. As usual, there's a blog post to accompany this episode, which you'll find at danq.link/goose. Goose-related etymologies. My favourite thing about geese is the etymologies of all of the phrases relating to geese, because there's so many, and they're all amazing. I started reading about one, and then, silly goose that I am, I found another, and another, and another. For example, barnacle geese are a species of goose. They're so called because medieval Europeans believed that they grew out of a kind of barnacle called a goose barnacle, whose shell pattern kinda, sorta looks like barnacle goose feathers. Barnacle geese breed on remote Arctic islands, so people never saw their chicks, which, coupled with the fact that migration wasn't yet understood, led to this crazy myth that still lives on in the species' name to this day. Incidentally, this strange belief led to these geese being classified as fish for the purpose of fasting during Lent, and so permitted. This is, of course, from the same time period that brought us the vegetable lamb of Tartary, of course. Gooseberries may have a similar etymology. Folks have tried to connect it to old Dutch or Germanic words, but inconclusively. Given that they appear at the opposite end of the year to some of the migratory birds, the same kind of thinking that gave us barnacle geese could be seen as an explanation for gooseberry's name too, but really, nobody has a clue about this one. Fun fact, the French name for the fruit is Groseille Maquereau, which literally means mackerel currant. A gaggle is the collective noun for geese, seemingly derived from the sound that they make. It's also been used to describe groups of humans, especially if they're gossiping, somewhat disproportionately directed towards women. Though gaggle is only technically correct when the geese are on the ground, by the way. The collective noun for a group of airborne geese is a skein, or a plump, depending on whether they're a delta shape or not, respectively. What a fascinating and confusing language we have. John Stephen Farmer's book helps us with a lot of goose-related sexual slang, though, because, well, that was his jam. He observes that a goose's neck was a penis, and gooseberries were testicles. Goose grease is vaginal juices. And have you ever heard the euphemism for where babies come from being under a gooseberry bush? Makes a lot more sense when you realise that a gooseberry bush was slang for pubic hair. An actor whose performance wasn't up to scratch might describe the experience of being goosed, that is, hissed at by the crowd, which, prior to the popularity of booing, was the done way to show your dissatisfaction. Alternatively, goosing can refer to a pinch on the buttocks, possibly in reference to geese pecking humans at about that same height. If you have a gander at something, you take a good look at it. Some people claim this is rhyming slang, have a look, coming from gander and duck, but I don't buy that. Firstly, why wouldn't it be goose and duck, or gander and drake, which doesn't rhyme with look at all? And fake, retroactively described rhyming roots are very common, so-called Mockney rhyming slang. I suspect that have a gander is inspired by the way a goose cranes its neck to peer at something that interests it. Crane! There's another bird-inspired word. Goosebumps might appear on your skin when you're cold or scared, and the name alludes to the appearance of plucked poultry. Many languages use geese, but some use chickens. If we go to French again, you get chair de poule, chicken flesh. Fun fact, Slavic languages, like Russian, often use anthills as the metaphor for goosebumps instead. Recently, people start talking about tapping into goosebumps if they're using fear as a motivator. A tailor's goose is a kind of traditional iron, so named for the shape of its handle. The children's game of duck-duck-goose is played by declaring somebody to be a goose and then running away before it catches you. Chasing, or being at risk of being chased by geese, is really common in metaphors. If someone wouldn't say boo to a goose, it means they're timid. A wild goose chase, thanks Shakespeare, begins without consideration of where it might end up. If children are like their parents, you might observe that a wild goose never laid a tame egg. That traits are inherited and predetermined. Prior to 1889, the area between Blackfriars and Tower Bridge in London, basically everything around Borough Tube Station up to the river, was considered to be outside the jurisdiction of both London and Surrey, and fell under the authority of the Bishop of Winchester, and for a few hundred years that was the go-to place to find a prostitute south of the Thames, apparently, because the bishop would license them to be able to trade there. Those prostitutes became known as Winchester geese, and the slang term appeared to be bitten by a Winchester goose to contract a venereal disease. Goosebumps became a slang term for the symptoms of such diseases. The perennial, Achillea ptarmigan, is known among other names as goose tongue, and I don't know why. The shape of the plant isn't particularly similar to a goose's tongue at all, so I think it might relate to the effect of chewing the leaves, which release a spicy oil that might make your tongue feel pecked. Goose tongue can also refer to Plantago maritima, whose dense rosettes do look a little like goose tongues, I guess. Honestly, no idea about that one. If you're sailing downwind, you might goose wing your sails, putting the mainsail away from the wind and the jib towards it for balance and to maintain your direction. Of course, if you're in a modern triangular sailed boat, you'd probably go faster, broad reach, that is 45 degrees to the wind and zigzagging, but anyway. Geese make their way all over our vocabulary. If it's snowing, the old woman is plucking her goose. If it's fair to give two people the same thing, especially if it's regardless of their sex, you might say, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, which apparently used to be what's good for the goose is sauce for the gander, and that makes no sense to me at all. I've no idea where the idea of cooking someone's goose comes from, and I certainly haven't a clue why anyone thinks that that particular way of walking looks like a goose step. With apologies to Beverly, whose appreciation of geese is something else entirely, but inspired the blog post and this episode. Once again, this episode was based on a blog post, which you can find at danq.link/goose. If you enjoyed today's episode, leave a comment or email me on podcast@danq.me. And as always, danq for listening. Danq very much.